2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that'll be easy to find, so would you stand with me for the reading of God's word tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to come in the middle of the week and to study your word together. And I pray tonight that you will give me wisdom, that you would anoint my mind, that you would anoint my lips. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll speak to the hearts of your people tonight. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We as believers are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ lives in us. The Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And by the way, that is the only hope of glory we have, is that Christ is in us. And many times we look at that one passage, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we only see the fact that our hope of glory is that Christ is living in us. The fact that we're going to heaven is because Christ lives in us. But not long ago when I was reading this passage, I could not help but think, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only is Christ in you the hope of your glory, but Christ in you is the only hope that a lost and dying world has, that they can die and go to heaven. And if we do not witness to them, if we do not, as the Bible teaches here, let Christ manifest himself through us, that they will perish without ever knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not long after the Apostle Paul was saved, the Lord was dealing with a man by the name of Ananias to go down and lay his hands on Saul of Tarsus. And one of the things that he said to this man to assure him that he had indeed been converted and that he was not going to kill Ananias or the other Christians there, he said to him, he is a chosen vessel unto me. to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In the passage we read tonight, the Bible teaches us that we are vessels of the Lord. And God said of Paul, he is a chosen vessel. And I believe from the depth of my heart that every one of us is born again children of God, are chosen vessels, that God has some purpose for every one of us. Look, if you would, at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. We have Jesus Christ in this earthen vessel. And by the way, when you think of a vessel, the most important thing is not the vessel, but it's what is in the vessel. And so the responsibility or the vessel's purpose is, number one, to be clean. Now, if you're going to have a vessel, you want a clean vessel. We've drunk out of some vessels that were not so clean, amen? And we would rather have a clean vessel. And by the way, God would rather have a clean vessel to walk through. So the vessel must be clean. But if the vessel is going to be filled with something, is going to be used, then the vessel must be empty. And we must be empty of ourselves and empty of our own ambitions and ready to be whatever God would have us to be. And then the third thing about a vessel is that the vessel has to be available. So when Paul is talking about that we are earthen vessels, and in this earthen vessel we have the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe he is saying to us the vessel needs to be clean, and the vessel needs to be emptied of self, and the vessel needs to be available to do whatever God would have us to do. Again, the Apostle Paul said to us that we ought to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Vessels, empty vessels, clean vessels, available vessels, a vessel that should bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often thought a vessel ought to be marked pretty well, amen? You ought to be able to tell what's inside by looking on the outside of the vessel. Now, that's not always the case. I remember years ago preaching in a rural church in Kentucky, and I had some problem with my throat. And I was staying in the basement of the parsonage, and I went in the bathroom, and in the bathroom I found a bottle of Listerine. At least that's what it said. It was Listerine. And so I thought, well, they would not mind me using this Listerine since I have a sore throat and so forth. And so I took the top off the Listerine and I took a drink of it. And, oh, it set me afire. I about died. I thought I'd drunk something poison. I ran upstairs and I said, Brother Myers, what in the world is in that Listerine bottle? And he began to laugh. And he said, you know, we've got an Avon lady in our church, and she likes the bottles that the Avon comes in, and she wanted to keep the bottles, so I just put the shaving lotion in the Listerine bottle. I had good breath all week long, amen. But the label on that particular vessel was not true to what was on the inside of the vessel. We are vessels that God may use us. And someone has well said, God made us vessels that he could use us. He made us empty vessels, and he made us earthen vessels that we may depend on God. Look again at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Somebody has well said, God even uses crackpots, amen? And sometimes a vessel may be cracked, and you know, it might not be a perfect vessel and so forth. But God uses all kinds of vessels, but he insists they be clean, they be empty, and they be available. So tonight, what you and I want to think about for a few minutes is the power or Christ's power in your life? Consider Christ's power in your life. And haven't you enjoyed all the messages that Pastor has brought on considering him? And so tonight, for a few minutes, think about considering Christ's power in your life. Christ is in you. You have an earthen vessel, but in that earthen vessel, there is a precious treasure, and that precious treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we see is we have power to overcome trials because Christ is in us. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, then we have power to overcome trouble. And in verse 8, the Apostle Paul mentions several problems that he had. And he says, number one, that we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Troubled on every side. In other words, Paul said, we have troubles. And by the way, the Bible says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And trouble is going to come. But thank God, in spite of the trouble, if we'll stop and think, Christ lives in us. And we do not have to be demoralized because of the trouble that comes our way. And then he said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, we're not always sure what to do, but since Christ lives in us, then we are sure that he will guide us and lead us in the right way. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. And then he said, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. So it does not matter what kind of problems you may have, troubles, perplexities, persecution, and yet we're persecuted, but thank God we are never forsaken. And is it not a wonderful thing to think about the fact that he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we could just carry that never out. I will never, 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 never leave you. And so it does not matter what you may be going through. It does not matter what people may be saying about you. It does not matter about the things that you suffer from day to day, God will never forsake one of his own. And then he said, we are cast down, but not destroyed. And that's sort of a boxing term. We're knocked down, but not knocked out. And every once in a while in a boxing match, you'll see somebody that gets knocked down and they begin to count, but if they get up before they count to 10, it's not a knockout. So Paul is saying, oh, we've been knocked down. And I would not doubt that there are some people that are sitting here tonight and in this week already, you've been knocked down, okay? If you haven't been, just relax. You will be, okay? So we are going to get knocked down occasionally, but thank God we can always get up because Christ lives in us. The power of Christ in us to overcome trials and troubles. And then the second thing we think about is the power of Christ in us to witness for the Lord. To witness for the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to be a witness of his. Look, beginning with verse 10. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, that our body may show that Christ is living in us. Look up at verse 6 again. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. No wonder Jesus said to his disciples, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And when the world sees Christians doing good works, then it is not the Christian that is glorified, but it is the Father that is glorified. So our bodies are a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. And by the way, the vessel does not have to be real pretty to be useful. And aren't you glad of that? You say, well, my body is not much, but the contents of your body is great because Jesus Christ lives in you. And from day to day, as we read the Word of God and we pray and we witness to a lost and dying world and we live our lives as we ought to live, then Christ is being manifest in our body. Then I love verse 14. Look what it says. I'm sorry, verse 13. For we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Thank God for the power to witness, amen. Thank God for the boldness to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist said, we have believed, and therefore we have spoken. And the apostle Paul said, I have also believed, and I will speak for the Lord. And if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves, then we should be a witness wherever we go. And by the way, don't ever take for granted, and don't ever begin to think that everybody in the Lancaster area has been witnessed to. And even if they have, they haven't all been saved. Amen. And so every one of us need to be a witness, a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he lives in us ought to be the reason that we are a bold witness for him. He lives in us, therefore we must share him with others. I like the little statement that someone said, don't just keep the faith, share the faith, amen. And you will be surprised how many people are willing to listen. I'll never forget a few years ago, stopping at a service station late at night, I was with the pastor, and we filled our tank up with gas. There was nobody in the gas station. It was late at night except the attendant. And I gave him a tract and I said to him, do you know you're saved and going to heaven? And of course, he said, no, I do not know I'm saved and going to heaven. And I said, let me take a few minutes of your time and show you how you can know you're saved and going to heaven. And I took a few minutes of time and the young man bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. When we got back in the car, the pastor said, you know, it's real strange that you get anybody to listen like that, isn't it? And I thought for a minute and I said, no, the strange thing is that most people don't want to tell it. I mean, there are a lot of people, I believe, that are ready and willing to listen if God's people will tell the message. We ought to have boldness to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because of the fact that Christ lives in us. Amen. And then thank God, because Christ lives in us, then we have the power of the peace of mind. What a wonderful thing it is to have peace with God. But it is also wonderful to have the peace of God. In other words, it is wonderful to know that the war is over. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's good to know that the war is over and we're no longer alienated and separated from God, but that we have been reconciled to him and that our sins are forgiven and we're going to heaven. It's wonderful to have peace with God, but is it not also wonderful to have the peace of God? And this is what Jesus prayed for his disciple, that they would have the peace that he had, and his peace was a perfect peace. So we have the power of the peace of mind. And there's so many wonderful things mentioned from verse 14 through verse 18. First of all, look at verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful peace? When you go to the graveyard and you plant your loved ones, is it not a wonderful peace of mind that comes into your heart to know that that loved one who has died in the Lord one day will be resurrected from the grave? And then when we face death ourselves and we are come near that time when we will be absent from the body but present with the Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to know that one day the trumpet will sound and the archangel shall shout and the dead in Christ shall rise. What a wonderful, wonderful peace that is. The resurrection, the peace of knowing that we will be resurrected from the grave. Then the peace of knowing that we will be united with our loved ones who have gone before and shall present us with you. Paul's saying to the people that he had won to the Lord, the people in Corinth that he had seen saved and had been growing in the Lord and so forth. And he says, not only am I going to be resurrected, but thank God you're going to be resurrected and we will meet each other in eternity. The blessed assurance of the united, being reunited with our loved ones. And then the assurance that everything that happens to us happens for a purpose. Look at verse 15. For all things are for your sake. Now, that does not always appear to be true, amen? It does not always appear that all things are for your sake. I went to the garage today, and you remember the day when you could, if your tail lights went out, you just buy a little bulb and screw it in? And my tail light was out, and I tried to get the thing off, and I couldn't get it off, so I thought it'd be no problem for them to, when I get my oil changed, they'll do that at the Toyota garage. And they did, for $40. And I looked at that, and I thought, my soul, $40 for putting a tail light in. You talking about inflation, this is inflation, amen? Now, I'll grant you, when I looked at that $40 for putting a tail light in, that did not really seem good for my sake, amen? But I trust somewhere along the line it's going to be. I hope they use that money well. Amen. So many times something will happen to us and we say, oh, that's not good. There's no place for this. But everything that happens to a child of God happens to a person. Look at it. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many renowned to the glory of God. Everything that happens to us happens for a purpose. We may not understand it now, but thank God for that wonderful verse. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. Everything that happens, and by the way, isn't it wonderful to know tonight that nothing can get to me except it comes through God. Everything that happens to me either comes from God or comes through God. I like the thought that someone mentioned talking about Job, and the devil could only go as far as the Lord would permit him to go. And someone said that the devil is a lion, but thank God he's a lion on a chain. Amen. And he can only go so far. And so regardless of what we may be going through, and regardless of how dark the hour may seem, thank God, God has a purpose for that. Often we read through the book of Job and you see all of the things that he went through and you think, why in the world should anybody have to go through all of these things? But God has a purpose. God has a purpose. Then look in verse 16. We will daily receive what we need to keep going. We don't live month at a time. We don't live weeks at a time. We just live day by day by day. And we've got the promise in the Word of God. And what a peace this is, that we will daily receive whatever we need. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. And by the way, the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And the outward man is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. But thank God, the inward man, as we read the Word of God and as we pray, that it gets stronger day by day by day. And God has promised us everything that we need for every day of our life. Sad thing is, most Christians spend far more time worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or about what happened yesterday. And by the way, whatever happened yesterday is past. Whatever happens tomorrow, we have no control over that. We must just live day by day and thank God for His daily bread. And did not the Lord teach us to pray like that? Give us this day our daily bread. You say, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Gasoline, $4 and half a gallon. The economy down and so forth. Day by day. Give us today our daily bread. Trust the Lord day by day. Then look at verse 17. We have the peace of God that rules in our heart. Christ lives in us. And since Christ lives in us, then we have the wonderful assurance that whatever may happen to us in this lifetime is but a light affliction. Present afflictions are light compared to future glory. By the way, when Paul said, for our light afflictions. Now remember who made the statement, okay? Our light afflictions. How light, Paul? Well, I was stoned and left for dead outside the city. I was scourged 3 times. I was beaten. I was put in jail. Those are light afflictions. Yeah. In comparison with eternity, those are light afflictions. So we have no idea what we may have to go through on this earth. But we can be sure of this fact, that whatever afflictions we have on this earth are going to seem like nothing in comparison to heaven. We used to sing the song. I haven't heard it in a long time. But it went something like this. Now relax. I'm not going to sing, okay? By the way, I told Brother Smith just outside a few minutes ago. I said, man, it's too bad I'm not going to be here during the summer because there's so many people out of the choir. I'd get to sing the choir this summer. All they need is some bodies, amen? But I'm not going to sing, but well, you sang a song that went like this, okay? We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the questions. He'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. By the way, that's a beautiful chorus. I really like to sing it. But I've thought a lot of time. When we get there, it'll be so great. We won't even have any questions, amen? You say, but I'd like to know why I had to go through this. I'd like to know why I had to suffer here. I'd like to know why I didn't get this job or what. Hey, when we get there, those light afflictions, whatever they may be, are going to seem like nothing in comparison to His glory. But notice not only that, look at it. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, wait a minute. When God lets you have afflictions, don't think God is being bad to you. Because God is giving you afflictions because those afflictions are going to work for you for greater glory. Sometimes we think, oh, we're blessed indeed because we do not have persecution like they do in other countries. But I can remember even when Romania was a communist country and being there and talking to some people. And I can remember one brother saying to me, "Brother Sisk, don't pray that we'll be free. Pray that we'll have the grace to endure." He had a hold of something. You know what he's saying? It's this persecution that is making us what we are. By the way, luxuries and leisure are not necessarily promoters of godliness. We have the peace of God. Christ lives in us. Therefore, regardless of what kind of affliction I may have, I can rest assured that it is working for me a weight of glory. And then the last thing is, the most important things are not the temporal things, but the eternal. What a wonderful peace that gives us. The psalmist, when he looked at the people and they were prospering and the sinners were prospering and the people that were wicked people seemed to have everything. They didn't seem to have any trouble whatsoever. And he talked about, "I was almost gone until I saw their end." In other words, I went into the temple and then I understood their end. By the way, the most important things are not the things that we can see. Now, we think what we can see is real, but that's temporal. The real things are the eternal things. Let me ask you tonight in closing. Number one, won't you just stop for just a minute and thank God for the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ in you. Just stop for a minute and just thank Him that this earthen vessel, vessel of clay indeed, with all of its frailties, and yet in that vessel there is a wonderful treasure, and that treasure is Jesus Christ. The vessel may not look so good, but the contents are wonderful. And then ask ourselves the question tonight, what kind of a vessel am I? What kind of a vessel am I? Are you committed to the Lord that He may use you anywhere, any way that He pleases? Are you a committed vessel? Are you a clean vessel? By the way, that takes daily confession, amen? If we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep short accounts. Agree with God when you do something wrong and get it right. A clean vessel, a clean vessel. An empty vessel, emptied of self and ready to be used by the Lord. And an available vessel. What kind of a vessel are you? Would to God that we would say tonight, as many have said in past days, the little phrase, "Here am I." You know, sometimes look that up in your concordance or better on your program on your computer. Amen. It's a lot easier that way. I don't know why, but all concordances are so small you can't read the words. But just look up the "Here am I" or "Here I am." Those three things. Here I am. Moses said that. Joshua said that. Isaiah said that. Here I am. What does that mean? When they said, "Here I am," or "Here am I," what did it really mean? It meant this: I am totally available to you. I'm ready to go where you want me to go. I'm ready to be what you want me to be. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. I'm ready to give what you want me to give. Lord, I am totally yours. Vessels. Vessels. Oh, vessels. God made us vessels that we may be used. And God made us earthen vessels that we'd have to depend upon Him. What kind of a vessel are you tonight? Let's bow our heads for prayer.